Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV podcast number 11. We've now got enough podcasts to fill an 11.
And I think you're firmly into your podcast voice.
Yeah.
I really like that.
But it's more subtle.
It's great. Like.
It's gruffer.
It's nice.
It's
I
also
like
my
it.
Sex voice.
Nice.
Not really.
I knew that.
That's more like, so we've got a question to kick us off. It comes from Ryan, Ryan Renison. Really good alliterative name. I like that. Solid Stanley.
Good foresight, the parents.
Stanley, would be proud. Which two of the current Liverpool players would make the best football fan channel?
Wow. I'm thinking Alberto Moreno's got to be there.
Okay.
He's just got to be. You need someone who's a little bit weird.
Yeah, I found that.
And then you'd probably need a talker, someone that just doesn't shut up, very opinionated.
I found that too.
Who that is in the squad, I'm not 100% sure.
I think you need to, yeah, you need to have your straight man, as it were, and you need to have your more opinion. Yeah, you're the guy. I think Moreno could fulfil the random side of things pretty well.
Yeah, as far as the talker goes, I mean, they need to be slightly boring, so maybe Adam Lallana could be in that or something, I'm not sure.
What do you mean, Adam Lallana?
He's slightly boring like you.
Is he?
Yeah.
Like me? I'm not boring.
I'm only playing with you.
I'd have accepted James Milner, but not, Simon Mignolet could have like a Sheldon Cooper's Fun with Flags style show.
Like that.
I am Simon Mignolet. Welcome. Okay, right, Simon, that's 4 minutes and you've just done your introduction. Okay, I would go with... Ooh, that's actually quite tough, isn't it? Let's go... You know what, to be
I'm
fair...
I'm going to go Divock Origi after meeting him last week.
Yeah, so hopefully people will get to see this video shortly. But yeah, you know what? Origi and Gomez made a pretty good partnership. But I would go, I think Henderson and Lallana for me. I think, you know, because they're good friends, there must be a natural balance there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I mean, they cash, yeah.
They cash, yeah, which would be... that.
What
that,
a series, by the way.
What a series.
You know, they've said they're not doing a third.
They'll do a Christmas special.
They better do after the way that they ended it.
Mm. Absolutely will. There's no way he's not doing a Christmas special. Think about it.
You know, what he came out and said? It's because there's just not that much you can do with a car. And the first thing I said was, finish the goddamn series then!
Yeah, no. Well, here's the thing on that. You could see, because the first series was entirely in the car. Spoilers, by the way. Well, not too many spoilers. I'll try not to ruin it. Do watch Cashier, it's good. But they do, they set a few things just like within line of sight of the car, but they moved a little bit further away. And it wouldn't shock me to see that either turn that into a fully blown series where they do a bit more around that, or what, if you think about it, is that it's all building up towards this Christmas team anyway, yeah. Isn't it? So
I really hope they do, because I felt like I was gutted the way
four
it ended.
Four episodes is minge.
That's not a second series, that at all.
Sorry, I won't ruin it for you, mate. It's fine. So I just go, shh, give us the international symbol for shut the fuck up. But really politely.
Great series, though.
Really good series.
Do you know what I love? Do you know what I love about it all is, have you read like the road signs and all that type of stuff? They're all jokes. So there's like, it doesn't say Tesco on some of them. Obviously where he works, they're very clear that it doesn't say Tesco. But like, did you see when he was going through Wigan and there was all pie jokes on all the signs and all the shops? And that's continued throughout the entire series.
Everything like this.
It's just brilliant.
Every part of it is, it's very clever.
What were we talking about? Lallana and Henderson.
Lallana and Henderson.
Car share. That's how they got onto this.
Exactly, Lallana and Henderson's car share. I think that's one solid content strand there, if I'm perfectly honest.
But you also need someone who's got a bit of experience at the football club and stuff, so Lucas should have a shout as well. Maybe he could be the Machin senior role.
Maybe he's the Aubrey of it. Kind of drops in periodically.
He just tells stories that are made up.
Just talks for ages. And then yeah, gets dropped off.
I miss you, Aubrey.
Okay, we move on. So what we promised was if people left reviews on iTunes, we'd read them. If you wanted to leave questions for us in there, we'd answer those questions. So we got a few from last week. As ever, you go to iTunes, leave a rating and a review, and we'll read yours next week off the back.
It's our first non-5-star rating actually. We got 1 star and it's just FSG out and sign Royce from Matty, you know. That was a little bit mean. Anyway, back so to the 5-star reviews.
I tell you what, if everyone can find him and call him a cunt for us, by all means feel free to do that.
Didn't your mum ever tell you that if you've got nothing nice to say, don't say it, Matty, you know?
No, but that, yeah, people's mums advice seems to conflict with the internet. I remember my dad used to say to me this, like, I'd give an opinion on something, he'd go, who asked you? And then he'd be like, well, hang on. And then they'd come back and say, well, no, I'm entitled to my opinion. And they're like, well, but great. But, you know, also...
We did ask him for his opinion.
No. But also, you know, also, shut up. go on.
5 stars by Dom Shield. Best football podcast out there. Thank you. Quality stuff, boys. Always enjoy listening to these on my daily commute. My question is, providing we get top 4 this season and secure Champions League, is Hendo a captain that can command the squad on European night like Stevie did?
For the start, let's not continue to make this same rod for Jordan Henderson's back by using Steven Gerrard as in every possible comparison. And I know captains and all that, but I personally think I don't think there's an issue over Jordan Henderson's leadership of the squad. I think the question mark over Jordan Henderson is, can you get him on the pitch for more than 25 games a season? Because based on the last 2 seasons, the answer to that is no.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Paul. And you know, it has to be a concern moving forward, because you do need your captain to be part of your match day squad regularly and ultimately part of your first team. Now, I think he's worth taking the chance on, because I think when he plays, we're a much better football inside. Mm-hmm. I think he's proven with games like Chelsea just this season that he can get teams over the line.
Yeah,
you know, he's proven to me that he is a big game player. He never goes missing in any game of football. Yeah. Even when he makes mistakes, he's there. He's always asking for the ball. He's always trying to correct his mistakes and stuff. And ultimately, he's a boss footy player.
It is interesting, though, because I see where the question stems from.
Of course.
Because if you were to put, it's like the Brendan Rodgers thing, you know, if you put bought some world-class, been there, done it players in that squad, and the chips are down and Jordan Henderson turns around and bollocks someone, he's got to have massive balls. And I think he has, but also, you know, your fear is that someone turns around and goes, I'm sorry, who the fuck are you? You know, I mean, ultimately, you wouldn't want that type of player necessarily in your squad, but, you know, and you'd want players respectful of the armband and respectful of the club and respectful of all these kind of stuff. But that, I think that would be the underlying fear with that. But that being said, I've seen Jordan Henderson go toe-to-toe with Diego Costa and most, you know, and a number of players in the league that most lads, or more importantly, most people, if Jordan Henderson was the man that some people seem to perceive him as, he'd never be able to do that kind of stuff. So I think he possesses the intestinal fortitude of a Mick Foley.
Yeah, and look, and if he were to get Champions League football, ultimately, as he's not been massively involved over the last couple of months and stuff, but he's the captain who got us Champions League football, and that'll earn a level of respect as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the thing,
he's been at the club long enough now that I think there's a level of respect for him and a level of respect for the way that he's gone about his job.
And also, he's, you know, he's very tight with so many of the members of that team and that squad. I get the concern over it, because when you're watching the Champions League and you're looking at the guys who are carrying the armband for some of these top clubs, and there's a natural fear that we're gonna fall a level below all of this stuff when we get back in there. But players need the opportunity to prove themselves, and I'm not. It's not like, I don't think it's one of those huge gambles on Jordan Henderson to be like, oh no, will he have? I think he's shown enough, more than enough in his tenure in that role, that he'd be able to handle it fine. You seem to be searching for something.
Yeah, I'm just quite interested as to who is the captain of Monaco, to be honest, because I wonder if that gives us an idea of a team that can go back into the Champions League with a captain that's probably not massively well known.
Okay, I can find the answer to that question. Oh, Phil, what was the next comment, yes, by the way?
So, Jonesy57, boss that. And that's 5-star review as well. So thank you for that. But yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because we do see these clubs like Juventus and Barcelona and Real Madrid who have these outstanding captains, but there's a lot of teams in the Champions League and a lot of teams that can do well. And maybe some of these guys don't have as big name players. I mean, Monaco have come from nowhere over the last few years again, haven't they, with the influx of money?
I hoped it would be on the app that I have, but it isn't. But yeah, so it's an interesting.
But none of those players are those names that we're talking about, no, either,
no,
are they?
No, you're right. It's a very good point. Okay, so let's push on. Thanks very much for the questions, by the way. And as ever, leave reviews, leave 5-star reviews, or none at all. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Also, as well, if you're just listening to this on Acast or iTunes or Stitcher or what have you, if you want to watch the video version of it, you can on the RedmenTV.com. There's the customary wave. We do an extended version of this. We do not normally do another 15 or so minutes asking and answering some of your questions or more of your questions that we don't get time to get through in this. So, first off, Chris, we're midweek as we're recording this. We've had a couple of days to digest the whole Watford thing, and more importantly, watch Emre Can's goal over and over and over again
from every angle.
What a goal it was.
Unbelievable, Paul. It was just unbelievable, mate.
Yeah, that would be pretty impressive. If you managed to get your penis to do that, that would be incredibly impressive.
That's the aim, Pablo.
That's the aim. Work on it every day.
if I don't turn up for work on day, I've done it.
It's like an emaciated husk on the bathroom floor.
I didn't really know what noise was going to come out then. I've never done that noise before. I wasn't sure if it came out how I wanted or not.
It was a big quick fire. I like that. I think you got it spot on. The people who were just listening to that, I wonder what in your mind. In fact, if you could let us know on whatever platform you listen to, what was in your head when you heard that noise? What emotion do you think Chris was going through? Let us know. I'm at tweeters at the Redmen TV. It's the easiest way to do it. We've spoke a lot about Emre Can. Look, since he came into the club, let's be honest, I think he's had spells where he's looked really good, and he's also had spells when he's looked horrendous. There was a point 2 months ago when we were going, yeah, well, listen, if he goes, you know, his contract shit and I'm not really sure he's kicked on. I don't know where he fits in this side, etc., etc. Now, Sebastian Coates scored an amazing goal for Liverpool. So the ability to score amazing goals does not define Liverpool careers by any stretch. But Emre Can, I believe anyway, has risen to the challenge that's been presented to him in these last couple of months. And I think I hope it's not capped off by that goal. I hope that's just another step up to another level.
Yeah, look, he's a player that I can't remember if it was beginning of last season or the season before, and I wonder if you remember me saying this, but, you know, there was a lot of talk about him being future captain material, and one of the things that I'd said is, you know, I thought that he didn't have the right mentality for it. He spoke to people badly on the pitch, without maybe backing it up sometimes. Now, we spoke about Jordan Henderson in his captaincy just a minute ago. Now, for me, Henderson's always been able to back it up with his performances on the pitch, and Can hasn't until the back end of last season, when we really started to see that, when he started playing the six. And then certainly over the last few weeks as well, he's really stepped his game up again. Again, whenever, and I keep coming back to this, is whenever he's given a run of games in the same position, he might take a little while to get into it, but when he gets into it, he starts firing on all cylinders. Yeah. We saw that back in the last season when he played the six. We're seeing it this season when he's playing more of a central midfielder role. I think his problem has been that, much like Jamie Carragher early on in his career and Steven Gerrard early on in his career, he's a very good footballer, and he's easy to push around from position to position to fill your needs in. But you never really see the best of him until you give him 2 months in a position. And he's really starting to, I think, believe in himself and his own abilities. He's really starting to, you know, put his presence into these games of football, start grabbing them by the scruff of the neck and affecting football matches at both ends of the pitch. Now, against Watford, I mean, it was an unbelievable goal, but I don't think 2 months ago he attempts that. I think it's his standing in the squad, his form that he's been in, you know, the probably positive contract talks by all accounts as well, all feed into this. And look, if you can get Emre Can into a nice rhythm with what he's doing, then he's going to be fantastic.
Here's the thing about Emre Can for me, is that if he was performing like this and he was Lucas's age, let's say, or older, because we keep making out like Lucas is a million years old.
He's 3 years younger than us. In fact, he's 4 years younger than us. Yeah. I think he's 30.
Yeah.
James Milner, the old man of the squad.
Yeah,
Bar Manninger, at least 3 years. And the way these young lads in the office talk about them like they're all cunts as well.
Like we talk about them in the same way, which is the worst thing.
I'm young at heart.
If he was James Milner's age, if he was Lucas Leiva's age and he was performing like this, I'd be like, look, these are outliers. These are, you know...
It was Colo's last hurrah type of season.
Yeah, you know, because look, we're seeing it from Lucas. Look at the assist from Lucas for that goal. You know, there's that great stat doing the rounds that he's got more assists in his last, was it four games, than Pogba and Mkhitaryan have got all season, which is delicious. Absolutely. But you're looking at Lucas's standout performances and saying, particularly from the creative side of things, and going, we know that's not his natural game at this point. He's been around too long for us to expect him to be this creative midfielder
who dives in the box.
But when I'm seeing it from Emre Can, it gets me excited, because I'm thinking, well, this lad, we still don't know what this lad's ceiling is. He is still potentially another year, 2-3 years away from hitting his actual peak as a professional footballer. I mean, I'd like him to hit it from next year onwards, realistically. But and when you start some of the stuff,
if this was his peak, you'd be pretty happy with this. This as a player, but you're right. He's not anywhere near his peak yet.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, talking about the lad's still 23 years old. He's exactly what you've said there. He's not had enough time. And we said this a couple of weeks ago on the pod. He's not had enough time to own a position. And when you look at it, and this, you were the one who said it, how do you specialise in a position that requires you to be a specialist if you're not playing enough games to learn the role inside and out?
Sounds like I know what I'm talking about. I think that must have just been luck.
I've tidied the edges up on that a touch. But the sentiment, you know, and the point was absolutely spot on, is, and this is where I think, and I think Steven Gerrard, and you mentioned him, I think you mentioned him already, is Steven Gerrard was world class, but I don't think he was world class over, he was never world class over more than a couple of seasons in any one given position. He was just generally world class, wasn't he? He had a couple of great seasons on the right, a couple of great seasons in the 10, one great season or two great seasons at either end of his career playing in the DM kind of thing. You wonder what Gerrard would have been if we just said,
that's your position,
your centre mid, mate, go and play centre mid for 10 years of your career and then adapt within the space of about 15 yards, move around that way. How much better might he have been in the DM toward the back end of his career if he'd been playing that, you know, if he'd only been playing centre mid for the 8 years or whatever that previous to it. So all the credit in the world to Emre Can, and if nothing else, we said at the time, he put a bit of credit in the bank for when he started Devon as Emre Can brain fart a bit later on. Sounds go do you're fine, mate.
100%
more power to you.
Exactly. I mean, what a goal! Mm. Deserve to win any game of football. It's cliched as fuck, but it's right.
No, exactly. And what I love about any of these moments, because I went down to Ball Street and Flav was, I did a special surprise guest appearance on the Long Ball Street podcast this week.
Did you?
Yeah, I dropped in and they were chuffed, because it means that when we're on it, the views go up significantly. The
comments are normally good as well.
It's just what we do, you know. And I said, well, to be fair, there's more evidence of it being with you than there is with me, but we'll see. Go and listen to it and make me look good. But he was like,
it's a very good podcast,
don't talk. He's like, don't, oh, you're going to talk about Emre Can's goal, blah, blah, blah. absolutely, mate. Because why would you? Why would you not? But what happens is everyone comes out the woodwork with like, Andy Carroll's goal, Wayne Rooney's goal, the Giroud scorpion kick. It's like, I'm not saying. I mean, I might have said it's goal of the season, but I'm entitled to say that when I've just seen a man do that live. You know what I mean? It's the people. It's the little knobs that come out. Does it really stand up to blah 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 blah? Amazing technique. If that wins goal of the season, there should be no complaints. I think you could look and say it's up there with, I think, with Giroud's scorpion kick, if nothing else, and saying, well, it's a moment of pure inspiration and skill. If either of those goals were to win it, you go, yeah.
Well, I asked your dad on the final word yesterday, how good does it rank going back over the years and stuff? And he mentioned the Suarez Newcastle one, which was one of his favourites. And the only other goal that I think he mentioned was a guy I'd never heard of from the 60s. And like that's your dad with 50 years of following football, rating that goal that highly. So that's how massive a goal and how great a goal that one was.
And as I say, you mentioned the Benteke one earlier. It was a consolation goal at Old Trafford, ultimately, as much as it was a phenomenal overhead kick. He's won the game with that. Even better. What more can you do? Score an absolute world-class goal and carry your team, therefore, over the line to 3 points.
Brilliant.
Prodl needed to fuck off, by the way, though.
Don't like him.
Yeah, well, there was a point, I saw a little video doing the rounds on Twitter, and it was a little clip of, there's our two centre-halves crossing the ball to each other in the final third in the 92nd minute. This is what it is to support Liverpool. Like, fuck!
Yeah, we talked about that at length. Because that's ridiculous. You know, I've talked about it over the last week or so, is this game management, you know, and just understanding your situations. I mean, Matip crossing to Lovren in the 92nd minute with Clavin back isn't what you want. It's just not what you want.
Well, that's why we put Clavin on there. These two are going to be mad fuckers.
What the fuck are they thinking, Paul? Like, you've got Champions League on the line. And the two of them are off for a fucking jolly at the far end of the pitch. You know what I mean? What are they fucking playing at like? It's ridiculous.
That's that very much like someone's defined the roles for them, but they've only gotten round to it. It's like you explain a set of the buttons to someone, but you only explain the attacking buttons to them, and you have to go, oh, what slide tackle? Oh, it's the same as high pass, mate. That it's like they've gone, right, when you play the side of the back three, your job is to get up and support the attack. And they're going, great sound, and they run off. And they go, no, wait, come back. Not in the last minute of the match.
And to continue that, everybody's done it where you've gone the other team. And you've just ran their players away from the ball. It's like somebody did that with the two of them. We'll run their centre halves out of position, straight up the field. What the fuck are those two thinking?
Wait,
I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
Everyone's done it where you've played as somebody else and you had to run the team away. You've not cheated.
What do you mean played as somebody else?
So you've set like a control pad up for them and moved their players out the way. You've never done that.
What? How do you do that?
You've just set another control pad up when you're playing the computer or whatever. And then you just move the players.
And two player?
It's a single player game, and then you put a pad onto the second team when you're losing, and then you start running their players off. You've never done that. No. You've never cheated on a FIFA or a Pro Evo game.
No, I don't understand. I don't understand why. So you go. So you're basically playing two player on your own.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've never done that. No, have you done that, Si?
Yeah, of course I've done that.
Everybody's done that.
Why would you do that?
Because you're losing and you need to win. By any means necessary, Paul.
Go ahead, see you.
You've done that, yeah?
I've scored a couple of own goals.
Yeah, exactly. That type of stuff. Like, you've never done that. See, winning just doesn't matter to you, does it?
No, I'll just win.
You've seen me play Pro Evo.
To be fair, I remember there was a series years ago called Games World. It used to be on Sky, and they had like you could send in your records, and some lad sent in his record as like a 19-0 win on Sensible Soccer. And I remember watching it, and he beating this team, he scored, and it's like it's a video of him doing it, and it's like that's a two-player game with no one holding the fucking joystick on the other end. It was like painfully obvious, and that's always rankled with me that people would.
Oh yeah, never done that.
I've never done it. Like, why would you?
I've done it loads.
Have you done it loads?
Loads of times. Yeah, when I was a kid.
Done it on the FIFA predictor last week.
Fuck off, Si, I didn't do it on the FIFA predictor. Shit, you lying bastard.
Okay. move on. So we got obviously just to sober the tone a touch.
Let me know. Moment. Tweet me at Mr. Blood Red and at the Red Men TV, and let us know if you've done that as well on FIFA or Pro Evo. By the way,
by all means, do that. So obviously, I mentioned I went down to London this week. I got a question in this week from Matthew Sweeney. Says, "How do you and Chris feel about Robbie and the whole Sun video?" Genuinely. Now, I don't want to do too much on this because. Those of you who've watched the video that we've done on Social Club with Robbie, will you watch that? You'll know the take on it all. If you haven't, I would implore you to go and do it because I don't want to use another platform as a stick with which to beat someone who's ultimately apologised for what he's done and what have you. But I just thought it was worth us talking about a little bit and more, I guess, the issues that things like this present to us. Mm-hmm. And it, because I struggled with it massively because I felt it made me feel selfish, which it should. I don't think it should do, because what it boils down to, Chris, is that I'm 100% appreciative of the fact that the Don't Buy the Sun campaign stems from Liverpool and it stems predominantly from the actions post Hillsborough. And so I can understand why people would not be as naturally bought into it as us and what have you, but it's just I just hate the world that we're in, that this has to be a thing. And I don't mean that means call the boycott off, not at all. It just means that I hate the fact that organisations like The Sun have put us in a world where we might not be able to work with people because of the whole thing essentially.
It's annoying. It is what it is. I don't really feel uncomfortable in the same way that you do about that, mainly from the fact that, you know, I appreciate that we've been brought up with it. It's kind of always been there. You know, we've turned down so many deals and stuff over the years with things that are kind of associated with The Sun. And, you know, it was one of the first things we do when we set these channels up, is to make sure that there's no Sun advertising. So it's always in the front and center of my mind. So I kind of am more accepting of it, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong, just that I kind of understand the situation and I feel like, you know, there's a reason for it. And you're right, it's terrible that in this day and age we are unable to work with people, but for me the whole situation has kind of fired me up even more. You know, I feel like I want to join the fight. I mean, you know, on a personal level, you know, Don't Buy the Sun, obviously, but I don't think I do enough to promote that. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, it's probably put a little bit of fire into my belly to make me want to go, do you know what? We've got a platform here. And there's people still in this fucking day and age that don't understand.
Yeah.
And that's because I'm not doing a good enough job.
Yeah.
And we're not doing a good enough job. And that has really awoken something in me that I want to start doing this.
Yeah.
I want to start making sure that every fucker, Liverpool fan or not, knows what that fucking rag did.
Yeah.
And if we can use the platform that we've got, then something positive is going to come out of the back of this, and that's kind of where I am right now.
Yeah, no, it's I think you're dead right, and as I say, it's the thing of it's the education of it that's the bit that's ultimately most important out of this, is that, because what it boils down to is that, you know, where I find it hardest is, It's not for me to tell people what they can and can't do, because everyone's, you know, we live in a free society, people can choose to do what they will, but it's about making sure that people understand why we take the standpoint that we do, and saying, it's off the back of that, it's entirely up to you. And that's where I think there was the issue, the issues that kind of came up with that thing, is it maybe came across a little bit like I was almost pressuring Robbie into the situation or what have you. And it was more a case of, you know, I explained to Robbie the situation on it. I think he knew, but I think, you know, it is the thing. People do need reminding of these things, because we do forget, because things are so close to us that it, as you say, it's second nature. We wouldn't even enter into conversations with it. Whereas unfortunately, because of the way that organisations run, that are so, they've created so many grey areas, and that's the way it's, why it's so hard to be, it's, there's no definitive, it's so hard to be definitive on it. The only easy way to be definitive is anything that associated with the Sun and the Sun logo and all that kind of stuff. But you've got, you got the Talk Sport thing, you've got the, is it Sports Dream Team International, you know, Dream Team. The fact that, you know, like the Times is technically part of the same group, Sky is owned by the same company, all these things, it's so, there's so many grey areas within this that it's very difficult for us to say definitively on stuff, which is why, again, I appreciate people's situation, but it is more, I think you're right, there's more on us to
educate.
Yeah, exactly. And to, as you say, exactly, make it clear why we take the opinion that we take. And what's encouraging is, off the back of it, is how many people of other, who support other teams and stuff, who've got in touch, and how many people who responded to it who weren't Liverpool fans. And it, the point I kind of made on the Ball Street stuff was about, it's, if it was just Hillsborough, and then they'd literally had an impeccable record of top quality journalism off the back of that for 27, 28 years, then you could go, well, listen, you know, even major institutions make mistakes, but that paper has made, literally throws one out a week, it throws one out a month of just being, of taking the wrong side on social arguments and making the idiot to people and retracting stuff with 2-inch sidebars when you've plastered stuff full front page. And that's, you know, that's the real issue with this, is that whether you're down with the Hillsborough stuff or not, which you should be, because it's not about Liverpool, it's about football. It's that,
it's not even about football, mate, it's about fucking humans,
not people. Yeah, but it's a terrible media outlet one way or the other. So I don't, if people want to choose to associate themselves with that, I can only say that, you know, it's not for us and it'll never be for us. But, you know, that's, you know, as I say, effectively, it's down to other people. But like I say, I hate the fact that that's what it is. I hate the fact that it's still, because if it stopped existing tomorrow, the problem would be gone, and we wouldn't have these grey areas as much anymore over it. And that, my problem is that I feel for people, because they throw a lot of money to try. They're desperate to get back in with football fans, and they're not. You know, they're in with idiots and you know, and people who, or ultimately people who don't really look too deep into the news and what have you necessarily. But it would, I'll try my best not to lambast people who do go with it, because I understand that, you know, this is not about Robbie in this, but, you know, there's people at low end of stuff who need to put roofs over their heads, and they need to find things, and there's money out there to take it. But again, it's down to us to say to them, this is, it's up to you to make the decisions you want to make, but it's why we choose not to.
Yeah, well said, mate.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Moving on then, obviously we gearing up for Southampton. So I did a mini preview of this earlier. Watford is maybe more confident for this game, but I can feel the nerves already starting to build, because inevitably it's the same story as we've had for the last few weeks. Great work to get the win against Watford. We come home to Anfield. 3 points should more, not more or less, see us home and dry. I think it's going to take another, it's going to take 6 points, I think, for me to more to get us top four. But I don't want to have to, I don't want to have to need 3 points from Middlesbrough. I just want to get this out the way, but therefore pressure.
Of course. I spoke to Freddie from Jugal Inside. The video will be going up over the next couple of days on it. And, you know, he was saying that Southampton are in pretty poor form at the moment. You know, they've struggled massively since Van Dijk's injury in January. And obviously they sold Fonte as well. So, is it Marco Munisa? Is there other centre-half? What's his name?
Isn't he from Stoke?
Who is it? I forget his name anyway, apologies. And he was saying that the centre-back partnership hasn't been very good, but the full-backs have been really good. Yeah. He actually thinks, though, that, you know, the way that we've been playing in the using the full-backs and stuff now, it hasn't been working to great effect for us, but he thought against Bertrand and the other guy that might actually have some success against Southampton rather than play it centrally, even though he said that the full-backs were playing really well. Now, he seemed to be really down on it, and he only predicted a draw, and this is a team that haven't conceded a goal against us in three games this season. I think it's two losses and a draw that we've had against Southampton. So for me, they've been a bit of a bogey team. I always worry, but... it looks like Claude Puel will be out of a job come the end of the year, he reckons as well. He reckons it might even, if he loses against Liverpool, he might get sacked before the end of the season. They've been in that bad form.
Wow.
So he's not very confident either, which makes me slightly more confident.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we've not been playing well. We need Adam Lallana and we need Phil Coutinho on the pitch.
100%. Yeah, couldn't agree more with that. It's been a weird season for Southampton in general, hasn't it? Because I think...
Oh, Yoshida, I was thinking of. Not didn't even begin with an M. That was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's close.
It ended with an A.
I said a name. It's better than saying no. Better to try and get it wrong. Someone once told me that. Someone has stated and said, always have a guess. Just have a guess of people's names at all time. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. But, you know, you're better off for shooting and not scoring. yeah, they've not been great this season. But the worry is, and you've brought this up to me a few times, is that we have struggled against these massively this season. In fact, we've not scored a goal.
I don't think so.
Against them,
we lost 1-0 in both of the semis, didn't we? And I think we drew 0-0 in the other. Mm. Sai's a bit of a Sai will know. Yeah, he says that's right.
So, and given that we're already a team that's not exactly in free scoring form at the moment, in fact,
Let me finish my sentence. Sai's a bit of a rain man.
There we go. We're no longer the top scoring team in the Premier League.
I know. We're the third, aren't we?
Joint second.
Oh, right, okay.
Is that
Tottenham?
It's Chelsea on 72, and we've both scored 71 or some space.
Wow, so Tottenham's goal difference is like 20 better
exactly
than ours.
Exactly, 20 better than ours, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, this is the point, is that we're coming up against a team that we've not scored against number of minutes.
Right, here's how you fix this issue. Okay, well, I've been thinking about this. They're good professional footballers, lads. They've had three attempts at these now.
Yeah.
They should know what hasn't worked. Yeah. They must have exhausted everything that hasn't worked.
Don't do any of that shit anymore,
please. Can we just go and see, right, there's this like round thing that you'd have to kick.
Mm-hmm.
Get that into the back of the fucking net.
Yeah.
Pass the goalkeeper and the defence and we'll be all right.
It's a revolution, Chris.
I know, Paul. It's what I'm here for.
Sorry. Here's the thing. I want Lallana back in the game 100% for this, but he struggles in this game massively.
It's time to shine.
Well,
maybe.
Exactly. This is what it's got to be, because I think Adam Lallana has, you know, he almost proved coming on the pitch against Watford that he's actually the player we've almost missed the most. And I know it's Mane, really, but he is.
No, I'd agree with you. Statement, mate.
Yeah, he is so important to our style of play. You know, you always talk about it, how he, you know, he sets the press. He's the guy that everyone takes the lead from in the attacking positions from us. And this is that game for me, as whether it's a mental block or whatever, and just you know, it's hard to go from being beloved in your boyhood club to being loathed by those fans. That must be a very difficult thing to handle. But if he wants to be a Liverpool player and a top level professional, if he wants to continue to be England's best player, and if he wants to lead a Liverpool side into the Champions League next season, then mate, you've got to go and prove yourself better
than Southampton and the perfect chance to do it.
Yeah, look, he's proved himself better than Southampton in every game apart from against Southampton.
Yeah,
I don't doubt him. You know, it's like it's not exactly the same situation, but it's very similar. Raheem Sterling at Manchester City. Mm-hmm. You've said it this season. At some point, he's going to have a great game against us, and at some point, Lallana will have a great game against Southampton. Now, I hope to God that it's this weekend because we need it, man. We need those 3 points and just, you know, if we can just get something, Man United play, I think, straight after us as well.
United Arsenal, isn't it? Which is the
I
big
mean,
one.
Come it's good, on,
that's
man.
That's it. If just psychologically, I think we definitely need another 3 points. I think the psychological
six
impact.
Points, another 6 points.
After this. I think we'll still need another 3 points. Is that the fact that one of United and Arsenal are gonna drop points in this game, effectively shutting the door definitely on one of them. You could almost shut the door on both of them if they get a draw from that. I think that's Arsenal's heads will go completely if they don't get 3 points from that.
And equally, I think United will have to focus on the Europa.
Exactly, you know, they're going to be mid. They're this weekend is the midway point. The eye of the storm between the Celta Vigo games, as it were. So yeah, I think it impacts those decisions. So yeah,
Just get it done.
Mondays was the most important 3 points. This is the most important 3 points. You know, Jürgen said it. You said it. It's great that there's pressure on us because it means that we've actually got something effectively to play for. And if you can't, find enjoyment within this. This is footy, man. You know what I mean? This is when it's nerve-wracking.
It's great.
You feel a sweat build on the small of your back.
And
you know?
Realise there's still like four days before the fucking game as well. And I've got sweat dripping down my back. It's ridiculous.
I think it's the leather seats.
Is that what it is?
Helping.
Ah, okay.
Also nerves, yeah. I am ultimately really looking forward to this game. And I hope and pray that Southampton is, because of the cup stuff, the players will feel the fans, they'll feel the low, them are beaten
the
as well.
The old performance at Anfield.
Yeah, that too. And I think what I'm hoping is that Southampton is just about a big enough a game that I'm hoping that the stewards turn a blind eye to the standing thing, because I think that's what from what I gathered about the Crystal Palace game, there was, you know, people weren't stood up and singing in that match, and they've done it a bit more recently where it's almost like they've gone, they need this, so they've maybe told us to sit down at the start of a game, but when it's really built up, they've took us that. I think it might have been Bournemouth, in fact, was the who'd have thought, standing for the entire second half against Bournemouth. But I'm fingers crossed this is one of those where they just let it go, let the fans do what they need to do to get behind the team, because my God, we absolutely need it. Right, we're going to sack off. Get in the bin is gone in the bin for this week. I want to get through some questions. We ask you for your questions via Twitter and Facebook. If you don't follow us on either of those, then make that a thing in your life.
Can we not just quickly put Man United in the bin?
Man United
this weekend.
Man United are in the bin. Sad. No, I want to do if we're going to do that is Man United and Arsenal winning games.
In the bin. Yeah. I mean, I've got no problems with Man United.
They seem to be doing a pretty good job of it themselves, to be fair, but...
Yeah, just ceasing to exist.
Yeah. Okay. Connor Mudge. Mudge_Connor.
Mudgy
the Budgie.
I bet he definitely doesn't get called that.
Does now, Mudgy.
Oh, you little cutie, Connor.
Do you think we have a realistic chance of the league next season?
Yes.
No.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Why?
Because everybody has a realistic chance of the league.
Do they then?
Yeah. Leicester did it last season.
You're going to base on that whole 38 game thing, but it's not. Nope, yeah. Realistically... I think, look, I think it would be a realistic, if we finish in the top four, I think, and we buy the calibre of players that we're hoping we're going to buy, and we buy the volume of the calibre of players that we're hoping we're going to buy, which is still all big things, of course. I don't know. Next season for me is not about the league. Next season for me is about consolidation, which is not exciting. It's almost like the least exciting word in football. Liverpool, because what we don't want is another situation that we had when we last got into the Champions League, where
And I don't think we fuck it on all fronts. And I don't think we will. I think we've got the capability to make a good fist of the Champions League. I think we, even if we got into a really strong group, I would back us to make a good fist of getting out of a group.
Like Leicester.
But like yeah. But the point is that because top four is so competitive, and look, if the league was to finish today and those teams made it into the top four, two of the four teams that qualified for the Champions League had no European football to play this season. Now, that's not going to happen because of how many Europa League places there are, but there's clearly, it's far less strenuous playing Europa League for different ways. You can rotate your squad a little bit more, etc., etc. I think we will look to strike an equilibrium next season where we put a good strong showing in the Champions League. You get to the round of 16, and then if you go out, and then you put a real, you really pile it on. We want to finish third, second or third next season. So we're within touching distance, I think, of the Championship. Once we've learned how to handle both fronts, I just think it's too much to ask us to go from. We can't even compete for the fucking title when we've only got a game a week. So I think it'll be a big ask for us.
I really do take your point. And the reason that I genuinely believe Liverpool can make a fist of it next season and be in the hunt is because of how brilliantly we started. And teams don't start like that. And Jurgen Klopp teams do start like that. Yeah. And you know, when we come off the back of a summer where we'll be well rested and everybody will be well rested because there's no European Euros or World Cups, sure, or anything like that. If we can have the start that we had this season and be where we were by Christmas time, then we're in the hunt. And I think the difference is you don't have Mane going over in January. We probably, hopefully, won't have those injuries that have really set us back this season. You know, and look, I know every team has injuries and all that, like, but, you know, without those injuries, without Mane going missing in January, I think we make a fist of it this season.
Maybe.
You know, and if we can get over the hump and get Champions League football, then what I think is those games where we've capitulated this season, the Bournemouths, Palace, Swansea, all those games. If we manage to get top four, this squad will be better for it. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll believe that they can put those games away because they've had to. We've seen it with Watford. We've seen it with Stoke in recent weeks. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that that's almost getting over the hump. That'll be like winning something for us because it's not like if we get into the Champions League, it's not like we've wandered in there easily.
Yeah.
People have been hot on our tails.
Yeah.
And I've had games in hand and had more points on, you know, in prospect than us. And so it's been a real fight for these lads. Yeah. And I think they'll feel like they can win it. And if we have the start that we had, and then I truly believe we can do this. And as you say, with the strengthening, with extra quality players and stuff, I think the vision has always been to plan for two competitions or three or four competitions next season. Whereas this season, it was about cutting the wage bill, getting a small squad, getting into the Champions League. Now, we think of it season by season by season, but I think Klopp will think of it like this season we've got to do that, but next season I know what we've got to do before the season started.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know, it's going to take luck. It's going to take a little bit of luck, and we need a really fast start. But I don't see why we can't keep that up.
Yeah, no, I would much prefer your vision of things. Absolutely, it's just it comes down to it's fear based on that whole. I think Klopp and the management team will understand it. I just hope that we get the players in who've got the capability to handle it. And yeah, again, a bit of luck with injuries and stuff, and we might well have a very, very exciting season next season, which would be marvellous. Here's one.
Also, I just want to add, I always think that, by the way.
True. Jashan Jeet Singh. Now that Lovren signed a new contract, will he be sold in the summer to make way for a new centre-back? No. You did this on the news, didn't you, last week? I don't get the rage from people. And of course, this exists across the board, and it's not just about this. I don't get it in a jet. I don't really get it in general sense because I'm quite a laid-back person, naturally. But I think Steele made a great point when he said people who are asked about us paying 100 grand a week for a player that we feel is only squad level don't understand how much money is being paid to squad players at the top level of football. I think in signing Dejan Lovren up, all we've effectively done is we've just guaranteed our squad as much as anything else. He, for me, will be our third choice centre back, and I think if we've got, let's say, Van Dijk and Matip as your first choice pairing, backed up by Lovren,
and a Gomez, and who knows what Cavan will do. That's a really, I think that's a really good set of defenders that we've got.
Again, it always comes back to, for me, what formation we're going to be playing. Because if we play three at the back next season, then he's a first teamer.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm happy with that. He's been good this season. He's had his mistakes. Everybody has mistakes.
Yeah. Klopp said it well, didn't he, last week when he said, you know, if we'd offered him a new contract after the Dortmund game, people would have been giving him, you know, 100 years or whatever, because he was that good. And yet he had an absolute stinker against Palace. But this is the thing.
But he's brilliant against Watford.
Well, exactly, you know, and this is the thing. I think he's definitely had more good games than bad this season. It's what I think people need to switch their thinking for this summer. We'll definitely do something more on this, I think, in the coming weeks we get towards summer. But we haven't looked too much on the outs side of things. We've looked a lot of hypothetical ins and what have you. But I don't see that. I think we need to get out of the notion that we're going to be selling loads of players. I think we can all name the players who are almost certain to go out the door. And if once you get through that absolute certainties list, it would be surprising to see anyone more.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone who started games this season for us regularly
I think you're looking at Sacco, Sturridge, Moreno, Stewart, and maybe Lucas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lucas is the only one, I think, who's played anything close to a regular amount of football who's liable to move on in the summer. I just don't see any point in... I don't see why you would get rid of anyone. Because it's foolish, because all you're doing is having to train... Because you're effectively having to increase your squad size. You're not buying one for one. You're having to buy two for every... It means you're effectively buying two centre-halves or more. You're effectively having to almost buy three. If you get rid of... You know what I mean? I don't think we'll make it difficult for ourselves, if I'm perfectly honest. Let's see, we'll get a couple more done and then we'll do the rest on the website. Let's find a good one. That's not a very good one, but I'll do it nevertheless. that nerd, Louis. Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola all day
long. Yeah, but apparently Pepsi always wins taste tests because it's sweeter and your body craves sweet things, so when you just try it side by side, your body will always go for the Pepsi.
Mm.
But actually, if you want an actual drink, then Coca-Cola's just generally nicer because it's not sugar water.
Yeah.
Although it is.
Here's what I want to do. Dan the footy _ fan, because I know you've done a lot on this lately on the stat
Flaffle.
Show.
Oh.
You've been doing the falafel.
Always.
as I've asked previously, is Kleine any good at all? Every time he crosses the halfway line, he looks completely out of his depth.
Yeah, you know what, when we compared him with a few of the other right backs around the league, he compares favourably. We put a poll out on Twitter as well, and everyone has him pretty much rated in the top three. Literally everybody replied had him in the top three right backs in the league. So I think when you consider him as a right back and a defender first, he's absolutely fantastic. When you consider him as more of a right winger, he's not a right winger.
Mm.
He's pretty shit further up the pitch and stuff. But sometimes I feel like he gets unfairly criticised.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just watch him during the game and sort of tot up how many times he makes a mistake, it's very, very few.
Mm-hmm.
His mistakes, and I'm doing the quotation marks
for those of you listening,
are when he just passes the ball back inside, but we don't lose the ball.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Emre Can's mistakes, we lose the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's infuriating sometimes, and it does stunt our attacks.
Yeah.
But he doesn't lose the ball very often.
You also wouldn't say Liverpool's attacking prowess have been a great cause for concern for us this season either, if you're talking about it. What annoys me is, why are we here again? Why do we always have to be in this position? Why do we always have to get to a season where you'd say, you know, we're having a good season, and we have to look at someone who's not? And I said this before, it's Alvaro Arbeloa all over again. We had a very, very good right back in him, but everyone was just dead pissed off because he wasn't Dani Alves. Yeah. And then we upgraded him, pardon me, to Glenn Johnson. And people were probably laughing now because people would go like, Glenn Johnson upgrade. Glenn Johnson was considered an upgrade because he could score goals, he could score with his left foot and his right foot, he was attacking first and blah, blah, blah. And let's face it, Glenn Johnson, barring probably about 18 months cumulatively of his Liverpool career, failed to hit the heights, and he was at us for quite a while as well. And more often than, moreover, his defensive side wasn't as bad as people kind of remember it, but
you know, he was that attacking thing, and it compromised a lot of what we were doing.
I think that to answer the question or the musing, I think the reason that people and we end up in this situation is because people want to strive for better.
Mm.
And you know, they might see that as a weakness. I don't think it's the biggest weakness in our squad. I think there's loads more before you start looking at the right back, if I'm honest. Now, if you had a bottomless well, yeah, I'd be looking at a different player.
You'd have loads of water.
Bottomless pit of money. Apologies. I'd be looking at another right back, I really would, but it's one of them, isn't it? It's like the right back roles change so much, and both full back roles have changed massively. Now, if you're playing a three at the back, I said this the other week on something, I actually see the right back role as more of a centre back role now, and a right midfielder role as more as a right back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In the way that Valencia and Moses have taken on these right sided roles.
It's been going this way for a while, isn't it? The full backs are essentially centre backs and wingers and all this kind of stuff. And the problem is that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Now we're picking on Friday on Social Club, we're going to be doing this right back / right wing back of the season, and I think when you hold Klein up to Victor Moses and Antonio Valencia and maybe even like a Seamus Coleman pre-injury and whatever, I get where people think you could do more. But here's the thing: for a start, Victor Moses, who'd have fucking thought that first and foremost? But also again, Chelsea are a very well organised, very well disciplined defensive side as well. If Liverpool had put another attacking player in our defensive positions, I dread to think what would happen to our team.
That's exactly right, mate. Look, we play with four at the back. We've got two centre backs, a left back and a right back. They've got, let's go for Chelsea, they've got three centre halves,
two defensive midfielders,
and two really attacking wing backs. It's the makeup of the team is completely different.
Yeah.
If you threw Nathaniel Klein into that Chelsea side, I don't think he'd be very good.
No.
But that's based on the fact that most of Moses' role is moving forwards with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you threw Moses in at right back in our side, I tell you what, Nathaniel Klein's much better.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that for free.
That's a good point. Thanks. You have to. Free podcast.
I told you that for £2 a month.
And also free. I agree on that. And I think it annoys me that we have to have a skate. I'm not saying, Dan, that you are doing this per se, but, and you just might not like what you see from him at all. And that's absolutely fair play on that. But I honestly think the Klein issue, well, there's no Klein issue. I think it's more that if you got a proper left wing back to play in James Milner's position, or someone who's a bit younger with naturally with a left foot, you could get up and down, you could get someone who does what Moses does, etc.
You could get Valencia. Baines in his pomp for left back would be sorted.
Exactly. And I think it becomes less of an issue, the Klein stuff. I just think because at the minute neither of our fullbacks score any goals from open play, and James Milner gets a bit of a pass on that because ultimately he scored 7 penalties for us this season, and we know he can play further up the pitch, but his creative input has largely dried up. I don't think he's doing enough. But again, I don't think you need to have, from what we said, you don't want to.
You need balance, haven't got that.
Or even not so much balance, but almost the opposite of balance to some extent. Because balance, I guess, would imply you know two proper left backs or two proper wing backs.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you're right. When you think about it like that,
you get balance in the regard of you don't need to have two wingers, out-and-out wingers. You don't need to have two out-and-out flying fullbacks. You need to be able to cover a multitude of options and whatever. So, yeah, thanks very much for the question. But, yeah, no, I'm a fan of Nathaniel Klein, but I do get the frustration because we ask him to do a lot of attacking stuff, and that's where I think it stems from, is because if Nathaniel Klein was whipping in balls and getting assists left, right and centre, of course there'd be no issue, and you'd automatically go to the, if we just had someone who could do that in that position. But I think it's a bit blinkered because you can't remove the good defensive stuff. And it's funny, again, going back to the Pro Evo game, there's a line in it where Joe Gomez talks about Kleine, and he says, like, doesn't get any dirt on his shorts. And it's a compliment saying he's so good at defending that he doesn't need to go to ground. He just wins the ball back and does that. And that's, again, it's a very underrated skill. And it's also a very hard to quantify thing. because everyone loves a good slidey, and you remember sliding tackles. You don't remember little but nicked interceptions.
Ultimately, the last line of defence, yeah, I think.
Completely. So we've got loads of amazing questions lined up. If you watch on the video version on the redmentv.com, please do stay tuned. Some of those questions include weirdest place we've been recognised / asked for a selfie. Is Arsenal a good fit for Sturridge? Maybe do a little bit on John Achterberg. Sean Weld asked something about him. Are we too nice? Do we need more snides in our team?
I'll Liam Keary
asked that. Yeah, no, we're not too nice. We're bad knobheads. And a few other amazing questions as well. So if you're listening on the podcast and you want more podcasty goodness, go to the redmentv.com.
For your 5-star review anyway.
But obviously thanks for your 5-star review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you here. No, we won't. You'll hear us here every time. I can't wrap my head around the difference of the medium.
Walk on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.